And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus on this Thursday, Friday Eve, if you will, February 6th. And boy, it is looking like winter out there, that's for sure. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki, along with our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel. And Bridget, how are things in your neck of the woods?
Breezy. Breezy. As someone who just drove back from Devil's Lake, North Dakota, from Agronomy on Ice, hold on to your hat out there, folks. There's a reason why they are in a blizzard warning in Devil's Lake today.
Yeah.
And gust of 50-mile-an-hour winds. I will say that the highways were clear, so there wasn't any ice. There was a little scattered ice on the north-south roads. East-west were good. Remember, we're pulling the trailer, so that was like a big sail. Overall, visibility could vary anywhere from near zero to a quarter mile, but North Dakota Road Report still shows things are travelable. No one's gone to a no travel advice situation yet. So let's keep that in mind and travel safely out there. But again, hold on to your hat, your mittens, your small children and pets, because it's pretty wild.
It is. And I've seen, right outside our studio here, semi was in the ditch. They've just pulled them out right now. I've seen numerous cars in ditches. The on-ramps and off-ramps in the FM area are very icy, and it's hard to keep up with it because you're getting the snow to blow back on these roadways, and it ices up really quickly. So please be careful. Visibility at times. We've had wind gusts here in the FM area of 45. I've seen, as you said, Bridget, 50 plus up around the Devil's Lake Basin. So travel not recommended at all between Devil's Lake and Langdon. There's been reports up there of zero visibility, and you get outside of the city limits in the FM area, and visibility is very, very poor. It's down to a quarter mile or less at times. So use extra caution if you have to be on the roadways today. As a winter weather advisory continues in effect for much of the area due to the blowing snow, and we'll continue with these winds through about 5 o'clock tonight. They'll start to taper off after that. That's the good news. We'll bottom out tonight around one below with winds going out of the west at 5 to 15. And tomorrow, a little better. We'll start off with some sunshine, but then we'll see increasing clouds as we head throughout the day with highs around 15, and winds will be out of the west and not that strong tomorrow. So that's good news there. We do have some snow spreading into the area Friday night into Saturday morning. Now, this is an event that's going to be along and south of the 94 corridor. So if you're up in the Northern Valley, you're probably not going to see much at all. Right along the 94 corridor, I'm expecting about 2 inches. And that does include the FM area. South of the 94 corridor, about 3 to 5 inches. And the higher amounts are going to be down towards the South Dakota border and into areas of Minnesota. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then the rest of the weekend looks pretty good weather-wise. A little chilly with temperatures in the teens. And then next week, Arctic air pours in with highs between 0 and 5 above, nighttime lows between 7 and 15 below. Ugh. It is February, though. And then according to the LRC, again, we're in that stormy part of the LRC cycle, and we'll probably have a couple more minor systems, and then we're still keeping an eye on a potential big storm as we head towards mid-month. It's either going to be around Valentine's Day or shortly after that, so we'll be keeping a close eye on that. That one, depending on if the Arctic air winds out, that system stays just to our south, but there's a lot. We know it's going to be there. The question is, who's going to get hit the hardest from it? So we'll be keeping an eye on mid-month. And then as we get towards the end of the month, I think things will start to quiet down a bit.
Well, this is February. This is what we go through.
Right.
I would tell you that yesterday we had a little bit of wind out on the lake. It wasn't terrible, but it did make sure that you put your hood up and had your gloves on. Surprisingly, some folks were really shocked to see that the ice was slippery. And so one of the fish houses had a really great view. Their big window faced kind of the main drag of where people were walking between house to house. And they thought they should have had a bingo board to see who slipped, who fell. Did they spill what they were holding in their hand?
No.
Did they make it okay? Did they get up in one try? But again, that's what it's like in North Dakota right now. And we've not had a lot of snow. So in those places, like walking on a lake, it's slippery.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, travel conditions today, visibility is the greater issue than we are seeing with ice. In fact, I just had a text message from some folks going by Jamestown and said it's drifting in some of the bridges where there's more snow that's blowing in. But overall, not having a problem when it comes to ice conditions or anything like that.
Okay.
And as a reminder, today's weather update is sponsored by Ryan Bonesack with Equitable AgriFinance. He is helping farmers and ranchers restructure their balance sheets and provide working capital. So please reach out to Ryan. You can get a hold of him at 701-261-6529. And I always give a great personal endorsement of Ryan. I've worked with him before in financing, and he does an excellent job.
Good deal.
My advice.
Good deal. Yeah. Good deal. Well, you missed us yesterday. I know you were having fun up on Agronomy on Ice. And, but we had Gary on. We had Gary on, and we were talking all about the LRC. And, you know, we were talking as well about when our last freeze is going to be here in the in North Dakota. And for our, you know, for our farmers, they want to know when that last freeze is going to be. So we went over that and a bunch of other things in regards to how stormy this month is going to end up being for much of the northern and central plains. It's not just us. And that's good because we really need the moisture. We're so far behind in terms of,
absolutely,
of snow and just moisture in general. We need that for when spring comes as well.
You know, we'll get to the moisture part, but right now I think folks will start to think ahead about a thaw only because they want to make sure that they have all those things taken care of prior to planting. Tractors, is everything serviced? Do we have planters if we were making any upgrades or updates? Are those taken care of? Hopefully everybody's done with calving before they have to worry about planting a crop if that's your situation and you have both. Is your seed ready and available? Do you have it in the shed? And are we looking for fertilizer to be spread this spring? Is that paid for, on hand, and ready to go? So we've got some time, but that's kind of a mental checklist that a number of folks are going through. Also, a reminder that North Dakota brand inspector Corby Ward, and I always have to slow down when I say Corby's name so I get it right. He's chief brand inspector here in the state, and he has two reminders. If you are hauling cattle, horses, or mules across state lines out of North Dakota, you need to have a brand inspection done. North Dakota Century Code prohibits a person from removing any of those three species from the state unless those animals have been inspected for marks and brands by a brand inspector. And the inspection paperwork then accompanies livestock to their final destination. Penalty for failure is anywhere from a Class B misdemeanor to a Class C felony. When you want to do the paperwork for this, there's two exceptions to the rule. First is when livestock are shipped to an open market or an auction barn adjacent to the state of North Dakota. And there are specific ones in South Dakota, Montana that would apply. The other exception is if you have a horse and that horse has a permanent horse permit, which allows that horse to travel anywhere in the U.S. and Canada without a new brand inspection conducted every time the horse leaves North Dakota. There's a one-time inspection fee of $25 for those horses. If you have questions, you can certainly reach out to NorthDakotaStockmansAssociation.org. On their website, you'll be able to find further information, especially about which auction barns, or if you need to speak with your local brand inspector, you'll find a map and who you would talk to. Brand inspection fees are generally about $1.50 per head. And I actually answered a question for someone asking this morning. If you brand your calves, let's say you're branding yearlings, and you then decide you're somewhere you sell them, they're moving out of state, how do you transfer that? And it's a little bit like transferring ownership on a car, because if you've had the brand inspection, the paperwork goes with the animal. So therefore, at some other point in time, if that animal goes through brand inspection, you have the release paperwork to say that it was taken under legal terms and not something that was during cattle wrestling, which still happens.
I still can't believe that still happens.
It does. I think they finally took the death by hanging finality off the books for that. But
that's probably a good thing.
I needed to update a few laws.
Right. So we've got another special guest today. Bridget, you want to introduce him?
I will. And Gary was going to drive down and join us today, but hey, look outside.
Right.
I wouldn't come down to Fargo either.
No.
So Gary Shields is the executive director of Northland Potatoes. Who's Northland Potatoes? Well, they've had a little bit of a new image update. And North Dakota isn't always thought of as one of the first places for potato production. Several other states often come to mind, whether it's Idaho, even Maine. But we have a long history of potato production here in the state, and a lot of it has to do with our perfect climate. I call it perfect. Maybe not today. But nonetheless, we'll be talking with Gary Shields here in just a few moments. Please stay tuned. We'll join Gary after the markets on the American Ag Network. And welcome back. Thanks for joining us here at Weather and Ag in Focus. It has been a fun day already. And I say that a little tongue-in-cheek because I was out on the road earlier. But our guest was smart enough to say, you know what? I'm just going to do this by phone because there was no sense in getting out on the road if he didn't have to. If he would have needed to, our guest is Gary Shields. He's with Northland Potatoes. But Gary, if you'd have needed to, I have a guy for you. You could have called Nate down at JLA Insurance in Grandin. Not only would he want to be talking insurance with you because he's been in the insurance business since 2004, he would also make sure to help you feel like you're part of the family and be trustworthy. This is a family-founded insurance agency covering crop and hail insurance. It's something that even those folks in your realm of potatoes might need from time to time, Gary. And you can reach Nate at 701-371-0311. Gary Shields, how are you today?
I'm doing great. And speaking of Grandin, they got some of the best steak lobster dinners I've had.
They do. Friday nights at the County Line.
They do. They do. There's a pitch. And I'm not related. I just travel and I'm old. So thanks for having me.
Gary, you are very well traveled and you have a long history in the potato industry, vegetables in general. Let's talk about North Dakota potatoes. Not everybody thinks about how much we produce in this area. Give us a little background.
Well, first of all, I'm sure you know this. It's Potato Lovers Month, February. So your timing is perfect.
That's awesome.
Proud, yes. And if you want to talk nutrition later, we can do a little trivia. But so we are the Northland Potato Growers Association. We are representing North Dakota and Minnesota. Combined, we have approximately 125,000 acres. In our area, we're considered combined with North Dakota, Minnesota, about the third largest potato producing region in the United States. We produce about 2.6 billion pounds of potatoes annually, and that generates about $500 million of income annually for our area. And we're not done yet. But, yes, we're very happy to say it's Potato Lovers Month. And, yeah, what do you want to learn today?
Well, I've got an email question here, Gary, from one of our listeners saying, you know, Idaho obviously is known for their potatoes. He asks, what makes North Dakota potatoes any better than Idaho-grown potatoes?
Well, I'm going to answer that the way I think Idaho would answer that. Okay. We all produce great potatoes in the United States, and we want to get our potatoes to across the United States and to the world. Every region has its specific, you know, thing that they say that makes them what makes them. I can talk specifically about North Dakota, Minnesota. And we all know a glacier came through here and left some very unique, fine soils that enabled our, you know, immigrants and folks to come over and work the land. We have both irrigated and dry land soils that are excellent, and that allows us to have diversification, whether we're growing dry land or irrigated potatoes. But I would say, if I had to say what separates us, is that we are a chip, process, seed, and fresh area. Idaho is huge in russets, table stock russets. We do not grow table stock russet potatoes in North Dakota, Minnesota. We grow russets, but they're for our process industry. So we're very diversified, and I think that's some of the things that make us special. But we respect all of our potato-producing regions.
We really do. And honestly, we have some of the largest potato growing farms based in North Dakota. that travel all over the U.S. They have a wide swath. And as you said, they fall into all those different facets of the industry, Gary. We're talking chip potatoes, which kind of an obvious answer as to where those are going, process, feed, and fresh. And fresh potatoes would be what we buy at the grocery store. But what's the difference between process and feed potatoes? Where are those going?
Well, in order to grow potatoes, it starts with a test tube, and then it gets into a potato, and then you plant the seed, and then you grow the seed to grow a potato. So we have our seed industry, growers that produce the seed, and they ship that seed out around the country. And then you have fresh growers that will take that seed, grow fresh potatoes, both red and yellow potatoes. And, you know, we've primarily been known in our area for a long time for red potatoes, but today we have wonderful yellow potatoes, which make up the balance of our fresh potato industry, that when you go into the grocery store, you can grab a 3 pound, a 4, 5, 6 pound, or, you know, you can grab one or two. Consumer habits have changed. We tend to shop more than when I was a young kid, once a month, freeze the bread, freeze the milk, buy 8 cartons. And I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. But shopping habits has changed. And with this new Gen X generation, there's a shift. People are always going to enjoy fresh potatoes. When it comes to the culinary side, cooking, people enjoy going home and making their own meals. But there are times where kids have basketball, they have hockey, and mom and dad have to provide a meal. So you can jump in the, you know, grab a bag of fries or hash browns or tater tots out of the freezer, throw it in the air fryer, put some chicken in beside it, and have a very nutritious meal. I don't think people realize how much nutrition there is in a potato. I Googled this morning regarding a comparison to eggs, because regarding protein, and I think there's a factor of 100 of value of protein in eggs, and potatoes have a value of about 90. So, you know, there's some high prices right now, but you can always go to a potato and enjoy a healthy meal.
Absolutely. Now, I think also we're talking specifically about human consumption, but potatoes can also be a livestock feed as well from time to time, wouldn't they, Gary?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because, you know, we are blessed to have multiple processing facilities in our area, a Simplot, Cavendish, and incidentally, Cavendish is going through, I believe, a publicly announced $150 million expansion. And we also have some other opportunities coming in the process world that we're working on. A little too early to get too much into it. There's been some announcements. But, you know, we really want to focus right now on what's going on in the industry currently, and always remember what got us to where we got today. And so, yes, we're blessed to have that diversity.
We really are. And I have many stories about, you know, local feedlots saying, hey, cows will eat a lot of things, and they'll even eat some potatoes. I mean, what cow doesn't want a french fry? Think about that. There's
well,
a french fry and a milkshake
all
in one package.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, what I was going to say about the Cavendish story is I happened to be on a tour out there, and there was a cattle operation. And, you know, sometimes they have overruns and things that, you know, land, whether it's through the ethanol plant. And it was really interesting to listen to the story of the farmers say the value addedness that they actually are feeding their cattle distillers grains and potatoes. I looked down and there were some french fries, and I thought, you know, they're taking what possibly could be waste. The other interesting thing is in Grand Forks, we have a company called Red River Potato, and they take cold potatoes that don't necessarily meet grade. They purchase them from our wash plants. They dehydrate those potatoes into a fine powder, and it's red. They're using red potatoes. There's red skin. And so that gets shipped down south, and I believe it's Blue Buffalo pet food that's using that as one of their ingredients in their natural pet food. So, yes, The potato is the most versatile vegetable, I believe, in the world. Morning, noon, and night. It's just uncompared.
Well, it's used at any meal possible. Gary, we're going to touch on our bottom of the hour news, and after we do, we're going to visit again with you. I want to ask some questions in relation to our weather and climate here in North Dakota and why we're so very conducive, not only to dry land potatoes, but some irrigation as well. And then there's that great story of why North Dakota is favored by McDonald's for a particular potato. And we'll talk about that when we return. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. And thank you to Gary Shields. He is with Northland Potatoes. Gary, we were just talking about some of the potato production in North Dakota, why we're a standout at the third largest potato growing state in the union. And why is that? We've been raising potatoes here a long time. They're kind of the quiet cousin to sugar beets. We're well known for sugar beets, not as much for potatoes. Talk about how the weather and climate for us is very conducive to that growing.
Well, I'd like to think we're just as equal as sugar beets, but I respect your opinion on that.
You're the quiet cousin who does so well. I think you're wonderful, but everybody else says, oh, sugar beets comes to mind first. Hey, let's not forget potatoes.
Well, we probably are humble. But with that, we send a lot of our product out of the area like sugar beets do. And it's easy to think of sugar. You drive by the piles all winter, and we're very proud of our sugar industry. I've gotten to know Harrison Weber real well, and he is a first-class gentleman. So, yeah, it's our water availability, it's our soils that, bring these row crops together. I was in a USDA meeting yesterday, working with scientists and researchers and going over all our reports. And at one time, potatoes and sugar beets used to be in the same division. Now we've kind of separated out with growth. But when you look at all of the commodities, when you look at the USDA report that came out last week, and you look at all the crops in North Dakota, there's a lot of crops that are getting smaller, whether it's sunflowers, even sugar beets have reduced acres. We are looking at going from 125,000 acres in North Dakota, Minnesota, to potentially in 2008 with a new opportunity, an increase of 25,000 acres by 2030, that going up to potentially 40,000 plus acres on top of our 125,000. So I think what's going to happen is you're going to start hearing a lot more about potatoes. Again, we're humble, but we have a lot to tout right now, and it's just a great opportunity and a pleasure to be in this business serving our growers right now. One of the things I'd like to mention from the meteorology side, my stepfather was a meteorologist in the Air Force, so I always heard the joke that his favorite bar was the ISO bar. Ha ha.
But
even Too Tall Tom used that back in the day, I think, not to bring up old school. But with that, some of the conversations that are taking place now is, if you're going to bring a business here, what is the sustainability over 50 years? In over 50 years, what is our – I'm not into climate change. I'm old enough to know that it ebbs and flows, and that's a whole separate conversation. But we are seeing a shift. We are having some, no secret when you look at the weather patterns. We're having longer falls. When you look at over 50 years, that's very attractive to someone that may come into our area and may say, what is that footprint going to look like? There's a reason, I believe, why we live here. There's many reasons. It's one of the safest, prettiest places in the world. But our culture, our climate, are long term. We're very clean. Our stewardship of our land, our soils, the practices, we're going to be here a long time. And the future of our ag industry is very strong, especially as you go north. And that's where we are. And it's just a beautiful thing.
I also think that one of the items that's really good for our potato production up here, we have less pests or diseases than some other areas of the country where they've raised potatoes for a long time. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe this is just purely my opinion, but would you say that's part of the reason why we have great potato acres here in the region?
Well, I could answer yes to that, but I think what I'm hearing is, you know, when your ground freezes darn near 4 feet into the ground, lost some years when you don't have snow cover and that frost gets way down there, you know, we don't deal with some of the things that they do will deal with out on the West Coast because they never get cold enough. And some of those, you know, nematodes, what wireworms, whatever it is, not to pick on them, but our soils freeze and it's helpful. We still have to deal with, you know, insects and a lot of other things. But again, this is a special area. And there are things that we're able to do, and it's why we have a very strong seed industry. We're able to isolate some of that seed growth out west. We have Enander Farms; they're way out west, and we just have great soil. And you talked about irrigation a little bit there. You know, we're blessed to have both irrigation and dry land to be able to average out yields with growers that are potentially growing both. And so it's just a solid industry. You know, you face adversities in nutritional situations. No secret that they've tried to take and put the potato into the grain category. We've won that battle. And when it comes to our food service, when it comes to our institutions, the potato is a vegetable. And they've realized, and I won't get into it unless you ask, but the nutritional value of a potato is far beyond what folks would understand. And we're not preparing these frozen foods the way we've done years ago. We're using better oils. And quite frankly, the potato is a very nutritious product that people should really look at. And one thing you will see if you Google resistant starch, how a potato is digested in the larger intestine and what it does for insulin. I know enough to be dangerous, but if people were to research insulin, you know, the resistant starch, that's a new thing that we're seeing and how they're incorporating potatoes into dietary.
Never knew that.
That's awesome. Well, and potatoes have some years there have been a stretch of years where potatoes were great. And then they weren't great. And now we're back to being great again. But what you said, Gary, about preparation really makes a difference, because if you are using these air fryers and the types of things that you're not worried about deep frying like we once did. I mean, grandma had a love of Crisco. Maybe we all shouldn't have had it. And it's making a difference for many of us in our healthy food lifestyle. But I do want to get to McDonald's, because there's a very strong connection on a North Dakota potato to McDonald's. And we've talked with Dr. Susie Thompson in the past, but I don't want to lose sight of how important this is. So could you share a little bit about that story?
So I was blessed to be at the NDSU Harvest Bowl when Susie was presented with the Johansson Thompson Endowment. And this, that's a prestigious $1.5 million endowment supported by the potato growers in North Dakota and Minnesota, the North Dakota Challenge Grant and regional potato advocates. And it's a milestone for NDSU agricultural research. In a nutshell, it takes years, decade plus, to develop a potato variety. There's intense research. They go through numerous trials. And Susie Thompson worked on that Dakota Russet, and it takes a lot to get McDonald's to bring in a new product. They've been using what they've been using for years, and now they are using that Dakota Russet in their rotation of, you know, of their crops, potato, in our McDonald's. And it's just so unprecedented. And Susie has dedicated many years. I happen to have known Robert Johansson. I started working for the potato growers in 1989, and both Robert and Doug Johansson were both very active and just great gentlemen. And now Susie coming in 2001, Susie is a wonderful individual. We're blessed to have the work that the breeding program provides through NDSU.
That's just tremendous. I mean, the things that we do out here sometimes don't always get recognized by others. And frankly, we do great work in so many areas of agriculture, whether it's potatoes. You mentioned earlier sunflowers. The research we've done for sugar beets really matters to important areas of the country and also to our diet. So, all right, Gary, one last question, and that is, with Northland Potatoes as an organization, you mentioned representing growers in the region. What are some of the duties that you do on a regular basis? We've got here, you know, 3-4 minutes left. Let us know, what does Northland Potatoes do on behalf of their growers as representation?
In 1946, there was a group of guys that got together and said, you know what, we're getting beat up by some of these larger states. Let's throw some money in. And they started, 600 growers started the Potato Growers Association. First and foremost, we provide research. Secondly, we provide promotion. Nothing happens till something gets sold. Legislation. We happen to be in legislative session right now. I'm currently working on two bills, Bill 1332 and 2709, which is a storage bill. And then we have 1332, which is a value added bill to bring in revenue to try to bring in new opportunities. So we're working very hard in Bismarck. I'm working with Representative Jared Haggard and others, Representative Mike Belts out of Hillsborough, that are really, really dedicated to our agriculture and helping us. So research, promotion, legislation. I work with National Potato Council, Potatoes USA, USDA, NDSU, and I can go on and on and on. You know, this is a very, very diversified business. And with our chip process, seed and fresh, we have our national fry trials. It's ongoing. But it is an honor to serve this industry. We have the best growers in the world. We have the best soils, the best people. And that all brings together the best products we can provide in all of our commodities in our great state of North Dakota, Minnesota.
Gary, no one is as enthusiastic about potatoes as you are. So thank you for joining us today. Much appreciated. You're going to have to probably shovel a little bit of snow later, but I hope that's all right. Thanks for joining us.
I want to say one final thing, if I could. I want to quote Dwayne Preston, because he is one of the most revered, Sarge is one of the most revered folks in this industry, and he would tell you, enjoy a potato product every day.
He's right. That's, thanks, Gary.
Nothing beats a good French fry, that's for sure. No doubt.
There you go.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, guys.
All right. Well, when we come back, we've got a couple more ag topics to talk about. We'll hit a recap of the weather. And if you have any road warrior reports, or you're out on the road and you see something that's extremely difficult travel, let us know. 701-293-9000. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:52 in the afternoon. And we've got some wintry conditions out there. We continue to see occasional whiteout conditions up in the Devil's Lake Basin, where blizzard warnings are in effect. And over the rest of the valley and into areas of Minnesota, we're still seeing a lot of blowing snow, very slippery travel, and reduced visibility, especially outside of city limits. Watch those on and off ramps. Those are very slick. Road condition reports across much of the state with blowing snow, partially covered snow, and it's just not a great day to travel, that's for sure. If you can hold off until after the winds die down, that will be this evening. After about 5, 6 o'clock, we'll start to see those winds relax a little bit, where we're not going to see as much blowing snow. And then a quiet day tomorrow, and then more light snow in the forecast, about a couple inches here in the FM area, right along that 94 corridor for Friday night into early Saturday morning, and then a quiet weekend. So at least if you're doing any traveling this weekend, the weather will cooperate. We shouldn't have a lot of wind, and we should see the sun finally coming back out a little bit.
Well, I also think if you're a high-profile vehicle, and I was one earlier today pulling a trailer, that makes today a lot more difficult, particularly if you're traveling north and south. And that's going to be blowing you from the side. If you are headed dead west into that wind, sorry, but you're not actually going to get any gas mileage today. Don't pass a gas station without stopping.
Yeah, no doubt.
Probably the answer to your day.
Yeah, tough travel day.
It's going to be a little crazy out there.
Tough travel day today for sure.
But it helps that the sun is shining. And actually, from the time I left Devil's Lake this morning about 9:30 until arriving back here 3 hours later, which people are thinking, I'm doing the math on that. That's not right. Yeah, it did take extra time this morning. the temperature rose about 10 degrees. So temperature wise, it's a little bit better. And I know we don't actually use wind chill anymore, whatever term you want to call it, but it's brisk. Wear a heavy coat when you step out there, guys. A little chilly.
Yes. Yes. No doubt.
Well, end of February, we will be approaching calving season. A lot of calving starts in March. We know that folks will go all the way through May, early June, just depending on what your cycle is for your calves. And local veterinarians from the Enderlin Veterinarian Clinic remind you to start doing a little bit of prep now. Just like earlier, I mentioned getting ready for the field agronomically, making sure your inputs are ready. When it comes to calving, now is your chance to go get your calf jack out. And for those of you who are thinking, well, what? There really is a calf jack. You would use that using either straps or chains when the calf is having trouble being birthed by its mother. And you have to do a little bit of maintenance to those. They should have the gears, if you will, on them, the ratchet assembly, well lubricated. If it hasn't been cleaned, get that thing out there and clean and sanitize so we don't have any trouble with disease spreading from one animal to the other. Yes, that actually is a real thing. You can use that to try to aid and assist the cow when birthing a fairly large calf in particular. Time to clean out those pens. If you can, get them cleaned out, get some fresh straw spread in there. So again, better sanitation when the calves come. We know that calves that were born under stress really want that and need that first colostrum from the mother, but you can have supplemental colostrum to continue to help the calf along. And there is a colostrum versus colostrum, a replacer versus a colostrum supplement that does make a good difference as well. So look for that when you are picking up vet supplies. And there's always the chance of disease happening, whether it would be scours or pneumonia. Have on hand some antibiotics for pneumonia that you can treat, also fluids. And when it comes to scours, you can make sure to have the right medication for them. And remember, calves, much like little kids, can use electrolytes, probiotics, and other supportive care if they become ill. You want to make sure that everybody stays warm and healthy throughout that calving season, both mother and calf. If you notice any of your animals with some lameness, maybe a little limp, they have their heads down, maybe that roll up in their backs, you can tell that they're walking rather gingerly. Well, it can actually be strains of the ligaments or tendons. Sprains can happen, a fracture or dislocation, as well as other injuries. Don't ignore those. If you see those in your animal, get them into a small pen, run them into a head chute, and make sure that things are okay. If they require veterinary care, don't let that go, that opportunity pass. A lot of times when cows in the summer have been standing around, or as we start to thaw out later on this spring, they're in mud or water, and that moisture will seep into their feet, break down some of the natural defenses, and bacteria can enter. So not only could you have a strain, a sprain, or you could possibly have infection starting in that prize animal. Let's not let that happen. Watch out as we get later into the summer, of course, for foot rot. But even now, cows can slip. They can hurt themselves. You can have those, as I said, strains and sprains that can even happen to those critters. So be mindful of what that might look like in your feedlots or pasture situations.
Right. And speaking of calving season coming up, Bridget, we'll be updating the LRC calendar online here within the next couple of weeks. So you'll want to pay close attention to that to kind of, you know, time out when, you know, when these mm-hmm. possible bigger storms are going to be coming through here later this winter into early spring.
Well, always making sure then that we have calf shelters out, that mm-hmm. we have windbreaks up, et cetera. Super Bowl this weekend. Just know that some of your grocery store prices are going to be a little bit higher. We'll talk about those tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to take the sticker shock away. At least you'll know before you get there.
Right, exactly. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on Weather and Ag in Focus. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show. It's coming up next.